the promises that God has given to us in his word will come to pass. And we have that Abraham sort of faith, confidently expecting that when God is speaking to us about situations that we're facing in our lives, that we would see his promises becoming a reality, becoming an experience within our lives. And then finally, that faith, great faith, really moves. It's exercised in authority. And the authority that Jesus had, that all authority had been given to him. We see that in Matthew 28. That Jesus has given us that authority to move in the authority of God and to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And Paul the Apostle, he talks about faith. And in Romans 10 verse 17, he says that faith comes through hearing, or through what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ, and really picks up on that second point that we saw last week, that it's important that we hear, that we're hearing God's word to us, hearing God's word to us in situations that we're facing and that we're coming up to, that the word that we receive, the promise that we receive, the words that he's speaking to us, that we're believing, that we're acting in faith on them, and as we do, we'll see them becoming a reality within our lives. And there's a story. There's a story about a guy called Old Fred. And Fred got sick. He was in hospital, and some of his friends and family and the pastor from Fred's church were up visiting Fred one day, and things weren't looking too good. And Fred couldn't speak. His voice had gone, and he's, you know, really failing in his health. And he kind of motions to the pastor, "Can I get a pen and paper?" And the pastor's, "Yeah, you know, being a wonderful pastor," he leans across the bed and gives Fred some paper. And Fred writes on the piece of paper, and a note on it, and he writes on it. And with that, he died. It's horrible, just a horrible thing to happen. Everyone's in grief stricken, and the pastor, you know, wasn't a good time to pick up the note and read out what he said. He said, he just kind of put the note in his pocket and said, "I'll look at that later." And it was a really hectic time, and he got the sermon all prepared, and the service, his funeral service planned, and he was given the eulogy at the service, and happened to have the same pants on. He's a pastor, he only has two pants, and the other ones were in the wash, and had the same pants on that he had in the service, and as pastors sometimes do, they put their hands in their pockets, because they don't know what to do with their hands. And he was sitting there, and he's thinking, "Oh, there's a piece of paper." Oh, and he suddenly remembered that Fred had given him a note. And he thought, oh. And at the end of the eulogy, he said, I've got a note here from Fred. And we know that Fred was an inspirational sort of guy. And what he would have written would have been something that would inspire us all. And he pulled out the note and he said, "Let me read this to you." And I looked at it and he said, "Help, you're standing on my oxygen hose." I like that one. Pastor killed him. Of course, God knows the days. And he doesn't need the pastor's help. He's probably thinking, "Man, I just wish I heard that earlier, because I could have got my foot off his oxygen hose, I guess, you know. I wish I'd read it." You know, when it comes to God's word, don't leave it till late and regret that you haven't got his word on your heart, that you're listening to his promises to you and you're ruined up with regrets happening in your life. Because he wants to really bless your life. He wants to bless you with his promises, and he's given you promise after promise, and he's even speaking now about situations that you're facing. And the thing is that we need to be listening. We need to be hearing. And faith comes by hearing. By hearing. Hearing his word, it inspires us and it builds us up. And I know that a lot of us here this morning want to hear from God. And it's important part is that we're listening. And it's important in a parable that Jesus told. Let me read it to you from Luke verse 8:26. "For no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a light stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will be made manifest, that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to the light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Great word. Well-known parable that lots of us know about, you know. And in some ways, Jesus is comparing the word of God to a lamp that brings, that illuminates things, that brings revelations, that brings manifestations, that manifests things that have been secret, things that people haven't known about God's kingdom, revelations, and he brings these things to the light. And it's like a light, and suddenly when we've been walking in darkness, we just don't understand things about God, suddenly it looks like the lights come on, and we go, yeah, we've suddenly had this revelation, a manifestation of something of God's kingdom that was in darkness. What we didn't know has suddenly come to light to us. God's kingdom promises. A word of God that we experience. And a lot of us have had that. We say, oh man, I've never seen that before. Aha moment. A revelation of God coming to light to us. And then after comparing the word of God to a lamp, he says in verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that won't be known in the open. And I think that's an amazing promise, isn't it? It's an amazing promise that he's given to us there. God wants to bring revelation and openness and manifestation to light within your life of more things of the kingdom, of more things of his word, more of his promises for your life. He wants to shine the light of his kingdom to one life. So that it won't be hard to understand. He'll bring clarity to that long-awaited answer for prayer that you've been struggling to find. He'll show that he can satisfy every need of yours. He'll enable you to experience peace and self-control and patience. He'll reveal how supernatural signs and wonders and miracles and of healing, like healing, can happen in your life. And you can pray for people who've got cancer cells and see the cells destroyed, sickness cast out, freedom from bondages like fear and depression, anger and bitterness. He'll bring revelation, the spirit of reconciliation, and that maybe for your marriage there would be a healing in it, relationship. Or in a family where there's been a struggle and dysfunction in it, God can bring healing and release and transformation. He brings these things to light. That's what he wants us to know, to discover more of, or even salvation power. When you're praying for people, when you're talking to people about Jesus, they'll be convicted in their heart, come to faith. And a revelation of the gateways in which we can move through and work in, and the power of God enabling that to happen. And then after Jesus has taught that parable, he wraps it up with a little take-home verse that we can just get it to, so that we can a little kind of conclusion, so that we can put in our pocket and we can keep remembering it, because we all this whole parable bit and all he talked about. He says this. Let me summarize it for you guys. Take care then how you listen. Take care how you listen. Are you taking care how you listen to God's word? Are you taking care how you're listening to God's voice? Are you taking care how you're listening? You know, he uses the word 9 times in this section, which includes a parable that goes before it about hearing, hearing, hearing. 9 times, if he's talking about it 9 times, I think we need to really take note of it. Take care how you be aware, pay attention, think about how you hear the word of God. Because as it goes back into the parable before it in Luke chapter 4, 8 verses 4 to 15, he talks about that parable of the sower. A lot of people think, oh, that's for non-Christians who hear the word of God. No, it's for everyone who believes in Jesus as well. It's a kingdom parable. And he's saying in this parable that when we come to hearing the word of God, there are some things that will come away and they will snatch it from our hearing, from our understanding, from our hearts. It'll rip it away. And that's what the parable of the sower is. There's lots of times that you'll hear God's word when you received it, when it's disclosed to you, when it becomes open to you, and things will pop up into your life that will steal it from you. Take care. Then how are you hearing? How are you hearing? Are you taking care when you're receiving the word of God? Because God is continually speaking to you. Are you taking care how you speak? How you hear it? Things will come in your life like cares, worries, anxieties, and concerns that'll steal the word away from your pleasures in life. The enjoyable things. Get in and take the word of God away from you. The desire for wealth, for more possessions, will come in and steal it. Promises that he gives you that will release great faith in you, stolen away. Even the devil himself will come and steal it away. And there'll be times when your faith will be tested. And I think we've all been through faith when our faith is tested. When your faith is tested, is it great faith that comes out? Or is it faith that gives up on Jesus? So we need to take care how we hear. And it's much more than just simply listening to the words. It means listening with spiritual understanding and receptivity. Something within your spirit receives it and it goes deep within your heart. And it's lived out within your hands and your feet. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to listen and hear the word of God. Because if we don't, take care. Jesus gives us a warning. The word we receive will be taken away from us. In other words, wake up. Take care how you hear. I love the old story about three guys. They were out shooting and hunting. Men, real men. Doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher. There's always a pastor, right? Preacher, man. And they see this deer, and they all popped up their guns and thought, gotta get it. And simultaneously, kind of like, bang, one loud bang, three shots all at once. They took that deer down, and they rushed over to it, see how big it is, and they looked down at it and thought, whoa, what a great deer. And immediately after that, sin entered the world, and they all started to argue who it was that actually took the deer down. And they were arguing away and said, it was me, and they're arguing. And the park ranger hears the argument that's going on. He says, guys, what's going on? Can I help you here? And they said, yeah, well, we're trying to figure out who shot the deer. And the guy said, well, I'll have a look at it and see whether I can figure it out. And instantly he goes up and he comes back and he says, oh, it was the preacher that shot it. And the guys are going, the lawyer goes, oh, that's not fair. And he's seeing an injustice here. It was probably him. And so he's trying to defend his cause. And he said, how do you know that it was the preacher that shot the deer? And he said, well, it's easy. The bullet went in one ear and went out the other. You got that quicker than the first people in the first service. I like that one too. But when it comes to hearing God's word, where does it end up? Do you hear it? It goes in one ear and out the other, or you're not even listening. God wants that word to lay on your heart. To lay on your heart. Are you taking care how you're hearing? And I suggest that we look at the list that maybe the next verse there. Can we put the next verse on? Yeah. Which one's God speaking to you about? He's speaking. You know, you look at that, man, I can always read that passage. When I go through my year reading Bible, you know, this one always speaks to me. Man, if there's something coming into my life that's robbing me of the word of God. I'm going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, man, I've been talking about all these things. And did you hear me? No, I wasn't listening. Well, why did you get all upset and anxious about this? I was talking to you about the answer to that and you just didn't hear. Take care how you hear. Ask God, what's hindering me here? Is there something that's taken your word away from my heart? The next scene, you know, that we come to, and we're going to go through this, the whole chapter. I think we need to do this once in a while. Jesus' family turns up and they're looking for him, and word gets back to him, hey, your family's in town, Jesus, and they're looking for you. And you know what he says? He says this weird thing. He says, my mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8:21. My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Seems like Jesus' father's probably passed away at that time. And in some ways, he's redefining family. He said, those who are really my true kindred, my true family, are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's why we say we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Same again. The word hear. This is a whole chapter about hearing. He's repeating that. Are you listening? Those who not only hear it, but do it. Great faith doesn't just hear the word of God, it lives out the word of God. And I think it's a big issue for lots of people. We hear it, but we struggle to do it. And I believe that the next stories that Jesus, or Luke goes on to talk about that Jesus was doing, some of the things that he was doing, talked about this third principle of great faith, authority and power. And a lot of us, we hear it, but we don't move in the authority and the power that we've been given by Jesus, by God, to move and to see the promise that he's given us become a reality within our lives. And Luke goes on and he shows how Jesus great moved in great faith, in authority and in power. He saw great things happen. He had authority over the forces of nature. He had authority over the devil. He had the authority over sickness. And he had the authority over the biggest one that no one seems to ever be able to beat, and that is death itself. Let's look at these a bit closer. Because Jesus is saying in it, take care how you hear. You know the story, you've probably heard of it before, but if you haven't, let me kind of give you a quick account of it. Jesus says to his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. That was his word to them. And they think, oh, yeah, okay. They get in and they start rowing away. And maybe Jesus is a bit tired, you know. Whew, he's been doing all this ministry stuff. And he's down the back of the boat and he lies down and he's catching a few Zs. And while he's asleep, the waves and the wind blows up and the waves with it. And the waves are kind of slushing over the front of the boat. And the boat's starting to fill with water. I guess it's starting to sink. And the disciples, they're all getting freaked out about what's going on. And they're, oh, we're going to drown. And they go down to the back of the boat and they yell. I don't know whether they yelled at Jesus or not. Wake up, you know, master, we're all going to drown. You know, and they're praying. If Jesus wasn't awake before that, he was then. Matthew's account of the story. I don't know why Jesus does this, but he seems to state the obvious. He says to them, why are you guys afraid? Well, who wouldn't be? Have you ever been in a boat when it's threatening, you know, the waves are swapping over the front and the thing's sinking? You'd be freaked out, wouldn't you? Why does Jesus state the obvious? Why are you afraid? Who wouldn't be? And then Jesus gets up and he speaks to the wind and to the waves, and there was calm. You can imagine? I can imagine the disciples behind Jesus' back going, Jesus turned around and go, what are you saying? No.
That's amazing. Oh, this guy's got authority to command the winds and the waves and they stop. What power this guy's moving in.
Jesus shatters the quietness with a question. And he says to them, where's your faith? Where's your faith? What, it's something stolen it? Something devoured it? Something choking it? Yeah. The cares, the worries, the anxieties of life choked their faith. Just remember, these guys had been to the Jesus Christ School of Supernatural Faith. They'd just finished the school. They finish the school, they get into a boat, and this is a test of their faith. And Jesus is saying, where is it, guys? You know, they've just been with the centurion, and they've heard him say, you know, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Why didn't they wake Jesus up and say, Lord Jesus, you just say the word, and this, the winds and the waves will stop. You know, they'd heard it. We just need to have your word on the situation. You know, I wonder whether those words of Jesus would have come back to them right at that time. Take care how you hear. Why are you so worried, anxious, afraid, and frightened? Do you trust me? Do you trust my word to you? And you say, well, what was Jesus' word to him? He said, let us get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Why weren't they believing in it? They'd heard the word. They didn't hold on to it. They heard Jesus say it. Faith should have told them that Jesus would have taken them through the storm. You know, we all go through stormy times in our lives, don't we? When fears and worries and anxieties threaten to overwhelm us. When we feel like our boat's sinking, when we're weighed down by things and we feel like we're going under. Maybe for you it's the mortgage repayments are just getting on top of you, or you've got some marriage problems that you're going through, or family issues that are threatening to sink your boat, or there's a job issue that just seems too much for you to handle and it's pulling you down and you feel like you're going to go under. We all face it. Right at that time, Jesus is saying, where's your faith? Are you going to let your feelings rule, or are you going to let your faith? Do you look at the waves and the things that you're up against and the things that are happening to you? Or are you looking at Jesus? Where's your faith? Well, they didn't trust his word, the disciples, you know. And it's been said that faith isn't believing in spite of the circumstances. It's obeying in spite of feelings and consequences. Faith is not believing in spite of the circumstances. It's obeying in spite of the feelings and consequences. And that's what the disciples missed. They let their feelings rule rather than their faith. And I think it's the same for us. When your feelings rise up, when they threaten to sink your boat, remember, Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority to deliver us from those things when we depend on him. When you cry out to him, he'll reorder your life. Take care how you hear. So as they readjusted their clothes and combed back their hair after it had been blown by the storm, they started rowing their boat and they finally got to the other side of the lake where Jesus said they'd end up. And they get to a place called Gerasa. And they get out there and they're kind of met by this guy who's in the grip of Satan's power. His life's out of control and people are trying to bind him, you know, with shackles, and he'd just broken them, you know. So much out of control, and it was his life, and he's living a destructive, isolated life, and lots of people and were fearful of him, and he was living out in the tombs in a cemetery, demonically possessed. You know, a lot of people today kind of push this demonic stuff aside and say that it's an ancient superstition or it's a primitive religion that we don't believe in it nowadays. Most of it's psychological issues the person's facing. But it seems to me that Jesus believed in demonic forces, and that he battled against them. Yet there are a lot of people who profess faith in Christ, believing, Bible-believing Christians, that don't believe that. Jesus battled against them. I think we need to take heed. That we need to take care how we hear. Because there are demonic forces, when they're left unchecked, they'll destroy your sanity, your health, your body, your family, our communities, churches, and even the truth of the Word of God when they're left unchecked. And sometimes things are going on within your life now that's nothing to do with the way you're thinking, but the way the devil's attacking you. Take care how you hear. Are you battling the forces of darkness? And this guy, he comes up, he falls at Jesus' feet, man. He's asking him not to torment him. He's shouting out, you know, what have you got to do with me, Jesus? And he's basically telling him, go away. And all because Jesus demanded the demon to come out of the guy, verse 20. And this guy, he's hearing the word of God, all right? Clear as. And his hidden word, the hidden world of the demonic has suddenly been brought to light. And when Jesus started to speak against it, it rattled the sky. And he's basically saying, go away. He was reacting to it. Probably snarling, get out of here. And Jesus asked him what the guy's name is, and he says Legion. That's not his name, but that was the number of demons that were in him. Some people say a legion can be 1,000 or 6,000 Roman soldiers. But so Jesus is dealing with a whole lot of demons here, and he casts them out into to a herd of pigs, and they rush down the bank into a lake, and they drown, and everybody's watching it, and they're freaking out. They ran back into town, and they say, well, you wouldn't believe what happened. Some guys, pigs, were just killed by some demons, Jim. And they all come back out to have a look at this guy, and they find him. He's sitting on a rock, clothed and in his right mind. He's able to think properly, he's able to reason properly, his out of control life is suddenly in control. Jesus came to set the captives free. And it comes to deliverance, it's not so much looking at the demons, it's looking at Jesus who frees us from the demons, who has the power and the authority of demons, and moving in that power and authority within our lives. It shows you the power he has to overcome evil. The power and the authority he has to transform the lives that are held in the grip of it. And I think Luke raises a question in this story, and it's a test of the faith that we all go through. Well, we sit at the feet of Jesus and let his power set us free and transform us and deliver us from demonic forces. When we ask him, Lord, reveal any demonic forces that I'm up against. Maybe for you, you're having sleepless nights and bad dreams or repeated family issues that seems to be an issue that's gone from the father down through to the son or daughter, down from the daughter to the granddaughter. And it keeps repeating over and over again. Or maybe it's a fear of the Holy Spirit, or you're struggling to really hear the Word of God, or it's an irrational fear or an uncontrollable anger. Have you ever thought, show me that Satan might be active in some of those things? Lord, show me. Take care how you hear. Will we sit at the feet of Jesus and let his power transform us and set us free? Will we fall down at the feet of Jesus and say, go away? I don't want to know about this. You know, some people have experienced the power of God and they've been set free from Satan's control. I know I personally have. And I know what that's like. From pathways that threaten to destroy us, being delivered from demonic influence. You know, that whole area of the Holy Spirit, man, I had to get some deliverance. And then it suddenly opened up to me when I was. I just couldn't understand it. Reacted to it all the time. I was, Holy Spirit, I needed deliverance. Well, that's terrible. Yeah. Was stopping my Christian life going forward. You know, a lot of people are scared. of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and they keep a safe distance. They're scared of demons and all that sort of stuff. Just don't want to know about it. They're fearful of what God's power might involve. They're fearful what might happen. And they push Jesus away. Take care how you hear. And then finally, two people come to Jesus for help. One's a guy called Jairus, and another one is an anonymous woman. One's wealthy, and the other had spent her wealth trying to get better. One had a 12-year-old daughter who was sick, and the other had been sick for 12 years. And if anyone knew and had a reason probably to give up believing, I think this woman would have. Mark 5:26 tells us she'd seen a lot of doctors about her conditions, none of them being able to help her. And he, Mark also, and she that she'd heard reports about Jesus. She knew that Jesus healed other people, and she wanted him to heal her. So she knew that if she touched him, she'd be healed. And so she hears he's in town, and she gets with a group of people that are crowding around him in expectancy. She reaches out her hand and she touches the edge of the robe that he was wearing. Suddenly, electrical shocks move from her fingers through her hand, up her arm, into every part of her body. But it wasn't just an electrical shock. It was the infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit in her life. And in less time than it took me just to tell you that, her weary arteries, her shrunken veins, her diseased stalk and her withered muscles, her shattered nerves are filled with health. Strength, the power of God. 12 years of sickness, she's well again, healthy again, holy again. And Jesus had sensed that the power had gone out of him. So he says, who was it that touched me? You know, and he was going, oh, well, there's hundreds of people around you, Jesus. No, how are we ever going to find that out? And the whole place has suddenly stopped. And everyone's looking around, straining to see who brought the party to a screeching halt. The woman hears what he said, and she tentatively comes over to him. And the Bible says she tells everyone why she had touched him and how she'd been immediately healed. The power of testimony. The power of testimony. You know, I hear people getting healings, and sometimes I say, why don't you give testimony? Oh, I'm just going to wait off on that one. No, you've got to release that one. And I believe that that helped consolidate the hearing that this woman had received, the healing that she had received. She'd been immediately healed. In Luke 8:48, Jesus said to her daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. That's an outstanding thing, isn't it? You see, Jesus had never spoken to her up in that time. And you say, well, I thought great faith was that you've heard the word of God and that you're acting on it. Well, she had heard that Jesus, the words that she had heard were enough for her to receive the healing that she needed. To give her the confidence to reach out and touch him. Take care how you hear. Faith comes through hearing. And she had heard the stories about Jesus' healing. The testimonies about Jesus. The power of testimony. We need more testimonies in this place, don't we? We can't here hold our testimonies back because your testimony releases something in somebody else, the power of healing. You know, we can say, I've heard the word of Jesus, I've received the word of Jesus, I know that Jesus can heal, but will we receive the power of Jesus to heal us? And faith isn't something that you do, but faith is that you believe what Jesus will do. Faith not only hears, but it receives the power. And I think that's what Jesus commended her for when it came to her faith. Someone said that faith is the required conduit through which healing flows. It's plugging into the power of God. It's the conduit through which the power of God throws into our lives. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Are you acting on God's word? Well, then word comes to Jairus' daughter that to Jairus that his daughter had died. He's probably thinking, man, if this woman hadn't pushed in front of me, I would have got Jesus home to my place and she wouldn't have died. And Jesus probably kind of sensing that, he says to her, he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, she'll be healed. In some ways he's telling him, I have the authority over death. They go back to the to Jairus' place and they find a whole lot of wailing people there, weeping and crying, which is a tradition in Jewish culture. And Jesus says, then they need to have faith. And he takes the little girl by his hand, by her hand, his hand, you know what I mean. And he speaks to her. The Bible says the spirit returned and she got up. You know, Jesus has the authority over death. I heard of one pastor that he doesn't have anybody in his ministry to, it's over in Africa, unless somebody's raised somebody from the dead. Hey, well, what sort of ministry team's he got, you know? Apparently he's got quite a few people in his team. So, man, well, I bomb out on that one. What faith? Still happening today. A man that believes in the authority and the power of God. What happens to you when you die? Do you believe in resurrection life? Jesus has the power over death. You know, I've known lots of people. You know, they've had faith for healing and they've believed and they've hoped that Jesus would heal a family member or whatever, and it hasn't happened. And their family members just got sick and they've died. And as a pastor, you know, I've taken funerals of parents whose little babies have died. I've taken funerals of people who have had faith that their loved ones who got cancer or a brain tumor or some other illness, they've believed and they've hoped for healing, and for some reason it hasn't happened and that person's died. And as I've gone through that and just had the privilege of walking with these people, something in me, I've thought, I've got worried. I've had agony within my heart. I'm thinking, God, I've been worried. You know, what? Are they going to give up on you? Are they going to start doubting you? Are they going to get angry with you? And lots of times, I've stood in awe of their great faith. And as I've said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. I'm going to trust you. I trust you. And as they've gone through that time, it's almost as if they've seen into heaven, the hope of heaven. And they have this supernatural peace that their loved ones is in the arms of God. Because Jesus defeated the powers of death. An assurance of the reality of heaven. Sometimes I feel like they've almost glimpsed it. There's a hope in them, a faith of eternity that looks beyond the here and now and sees heaven. A faith that remains steadfast. The secret things of the kingdom have been made known to them. They've come to light to them. And they've stood steadfast in their faith. And I've stood in awe of that. It's not something they've done, but something Jesus is doing in them. They've taken care how they're hearing. And they've found a strength to stand when others have fallen and given up, through the test of their faith. You know, it can be the same for you. Take care how you hear. I want to worship. We're standing in the presence of the mighty God, aren't we? And he's speaking to people. Maybe he's speaking to you about some things that have gotten and have robbed you of words, of promises, of faith. hears the worries, anxieties of the world. Maybe you've been through a testing time. The team could come now. And God's been saying, I just want to strengthen you. I want to strengthen you. I want to revive your faith because you've got angry at God. God didn't make your loved ones sick. The devil did. That's his modus operandi. God loves you enough that he set you free from the enemy's control. And maybe in your life you're going through struggles and things are coming against you, threatening to pull you down. He wants to calm the storm, give you his peace, not take you out of it, but give you the strength to get through it. That's the God that we believe in. Or maybe for you, you know, you're going through some times that there's some issues going on that are coming against you and the enemies that are a result of it. You can't sleep and wake at night thinking about things or bad dreams. Or maybe for you, there's family issues that seem to go on and on and on and on and you can't understand. There's no reason to explain it. Or maybe there's just an uncontrollable things going on within your own personality. God wants to set you free and deliver you there. Maybe there's some sickness in your life. He wants to heal you. Or maybe you don't have that great hope of life after death. God wants to bring that assurance in you this morning. He's calling you. He's calling you that you would turn your heart to him and believe in Jesus, that he died for you and set you free. He rose from the dead and has given his power to you. And will you receive that power and declare him as Lord, as ruler of your life? Maybe God's open to you, and we're just going to have ministry time. The team's going to lead us in worship. You do your stuff with God. Be open to him. There's plenty to feast on there, and pick up one of them. God's speaking. Take care then how you hear.